Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. I appreciate you moving us up. Mr. Banker drove me down because of my arm, and I'll go back with him later today, and I am in trial. It is clear, I think, that you know from the briefs that everything took place at Boone. The things I want to discuss are the relationship between Boone and BJC, because my position still is on the pretense of joinder that plaintiff has to prove, as it relates to Boone, that BJC controlled Boone. And I think the case law is very clear from the 2002 BJC versus Neal case that where there are separate corporations, there's only two ways to get around it. One is you have to allege sufficient control to pierce the corporate veil, or you have to allege control over the care at issue that caused the injury. I think we have several appellate cases, starting with the Dowsman case, which was mine many years ago, going through with the two Neal cases and eventually the Ritter case, which all essentially say that just because there is some affiliation agreement, that is not enough to prove control.
And some of the questions that most recently asked go to the issue of affiliation is certainly not enough, but if you have affiliation and holding out to the public that for instance, that all 25,000 employees are employees of BJC and other things, the integrated system, is that enough to go beyond mere affiliation and create an apparent authority and a third basis for holding them responsible?
It hasn't been under case law to date.
But talk about the policy reasons why it should or should not be.
The policy reasons from my standpoint are that we can always make allegations about how broad the net is. The issue is that you still, even though you claim it's a very broad net, the issue is you have to prove that the net catches the defendant at issue, that it catches the care at issue.
Yeah, but this is, I mean, here's the problem. Here's what I'm struggling with. This is a pretty broad net that BJC has cast out itself. When it if it represents itself as an integrated delivery system to provide healthcare services, and this is part of the integrated system, if it says that to people, why shouldn't people be able to rely upon that and then to believe that if I am hurt, if something doesn't go right in this, that I can come and look to BJC as being responsible? Why shouldn't we look at it as a layman's point of view as opposed to a technical lawyer point of view?
Because I don't think the layman is entitled to assume that if they say there's 25,000 people, that the doctor that they've gotten is one of those 25,000.
Well, what about the integrated delivery system?
The integrated delivery system has already been proven by both the Dowsman case and the Ritter case and one of the Neal cases as not being enough.
But what about the...
No. Not that it's integrated, but that it's represented that way. Here we're not looking at what the actual relationship is. What we're looking at is what BJC told the patients or the marketing, the public they were marketing to, that the relationship was.
For purposes of venue as opposed to liability.
Yeah, well, if they're doing that to get the business, why should they be held to less venue?
I guess my answer to it still is, but we know that those type representations don't void corporate reality. We know that they've pled that Boone is a separate corporation entitled to be sued, sue and be sued, and they pled that BJC was a separate entity. So my answer is, I don't believe that representations, whatever they may be, allow a litigant to say that the care I got falls in that representation.
Yeah, but the difference is, you know, that in commercial law, apparent authority is one that it stops you from saying you can't. It says, because of what I've said generally, I cannot now say something different in this lawsuit. So what I'm asking is, should that idea, should that theory of law that applies in commercial cases generally apply here in a medical malpractice case, or why shouldn't it?
I don't think it should, and if we go back to that analogy of the representation of the estoppel, I believe they also have to prove detrimental reliance. They changed their position in relationship to some representation, and that is in the Dowsman opinion. And there's no proof here that there was any change in Ms. Kamar's position. As a practical matter, she delivered her child there a week before she came back a second time. She was admitted by a private physician And there is no allegation in this petition or the First Amendment petition that she came there because of the website. But there's no allegation.
Or because of, is there any allegation that she came because of BJC? Thought it was part of that system?
According to my reading of this petition, the amendment petition, there is no allegation that she came because of the website or advertisement or any relationship between Boone, my client, and BJC.
Well, what if there were? Is that enough?
Then at that point in time, I think you've got to prove the detrimental reliance, which is not pled here either.
But I mean, if you could, is that, does that bypass the whole issue of control and provide a different, a tangential angle for them to include BJC in the suit?
It's a tough question. I suppose if I put myself in both shoes, the answer is I can see in some circumstances it would be. But I don't see in this circumstance where the allegations in the petition, it's 24 through 26, are that I was injured because of where a surgeon placed the trocar and when the surgeon turned the gas on.
Are there other allegations? Your opponent says there are other allegations that there were additional acts of negligence and failure to detect and treat beyond those allegations.
There are certainly general allegations of neglect against Boone Health Center, but that doesn't get her to the city of St. Louis. To get to the city of St. Louis, she has to prove that BJC controlled that conduct.
And you have, again, 72 signs in the hospital, they claim, and that say BJC policies and procedures for quality of care and things. I mean, it isn't simply a billboard on the side. It's much, much more.
Well, I guess we could say it potentially is. The question is whether she saw any of those signs and whether she pled that she saw them and relied upon them, which she hasn't pled. And secondarily, I mean, I carry a Pilot pen in my pocket, but it doesn't mean that I'm employed by Pilot pen. And there are plenty of other examples in the world where we say there's affiliations or federations or otherwise where we would say, okay, I know that exists, but tell me how, in fact, that relates to the care here. And under both Dousman, which says they must prove that the control is over the particular transaction at issue, and under Neal, where they have to prove, it's the 2003 Neal, they have to prove that BJC affected the health care at issue and caused the injury.
Now, is it your belief that under any set of facts of alleged malpractice, that because of the terms of the affiliation agreement and other documents between BJC and Boone, that there could never be an agency control found of BJC over Boone to find an agency relationship?
I believe that is correct. I think it is an affiliation. The affiliation clearly says they are separate entities. There has never been a claim in this court, in this action, in any of the prior litigation involving BJC, that it's a subterfuge, that it was designed to foist some illegal purpose, which is the requirement to prove piercing the corporate veil. And we've got two appellate decisions that say that that's not the purpose.
But what about some of the other decisions from the Circuit Court in the City of St. Louis and some writs that have been issued by the Eastern District? Some of those say contrary to what you're saying, don't they?
I'm not sure they say it's contrary in terms of what you need to plead and prove. I think there may be some other appellate decisions that say, look, if you pick a particular piece out of this affiliation agreement and it relates to the care you got, yes, we will follow that. My argument has been in my brief that, in fact, those allegations don't exist here. What we have is there's this integrated health system, and that's it. They haven't.
Well, I mean, I think the dilemma that the questions are raising is that when these hospitals decided to make themselves an integrated system, let's face it, Barnes Jewish Hospital always is in the top 10 hospitals in the country. And so you wouldn't choose, just to name another hospital, Christian Hospitals, as the name of your entity, because you don't get the cachet. So I understand the argument about that you really haven't changed anything really about the corporate structure, but the question is about the holding out of it. I mean, if you were going to have a bunch of hospitals affiliated with Barnes Jewish or Mayo Clinic or Dartmouth Hitchcock or name another one, Mass General, you would not pick the local hospital out in someplace like Columbia, Missouri, as the lead for the name. So does that imply that there is, to the public, that there is some upgrade in quality that occurred to Boone Hospital because of its affiliation with Barnes Jewish?
Well, it is BJC, Barnes Jewish Christian Health System. So we don't want to put aside the Christian hospitals of the world. It's a fine institution. One of my clients also, Judge.
But they don't show up in the top 10 list. Barnes Jewish does.
They're working hard.
I understand that. But, and so is Boone Hospital, I'm sure.
So is Boone.
But you don't list an affiliation, let's say, with the St. Elizabeth Hospital in Illinois. There's Illinois parts of BJC also.
There
you don't
are.
Say Boone Hospital affiliated with East St. Louis Clinic.
There are, but let's assume it's a member of the Catholic Hospital Association, and we have the Catholic Hospital Association all over the signage, which they do at many hospitals in town. Let's assume it's a Mercy Health System, which there are many Mercy Hospitals in this state and other states. Can you go to the Mercy Hospital in Arkansas and say, gosh, St. John's Mercy in St. Louis has an excellent reputation as the leading baby factory in town, and therefore I thought they trained my obstetrician in Arkansas? I don't think you can. And, you know, I understand the argument that they've set this integrated delivery system up. I think we know from case law that it had a valid business purpose. It's not that it was set up for nefarious purposes, and we know that from a variety of things. And I don't think this court thinks that way, nor do I think that the Kamars think that way. So my standpoint is, sure, there are signs there. The Missouri flag flies over the hospital. That doesn't mean it's a Missouri hospital. So does the U.S. flag. And you know, you may think that they provided better care because of that, and my argument would be they did. But the point is, you still have to prove, I believe, that that affiliation under the two cases we have is what led them to go there, which they haven't pled, and secondly, that that control over Boone, which doesn't get them very far because Boone didn't employ Dr. Pitt, and we've got two affidavits to say that, that somehow or other that influenced Ms. Kamar, and she relied detrimentally on it, and there's no allegations.
Do all the references indicate there's an affiliation, which you're saying, I mean, if they don't say they're BJC, Boone Hospital is part of BJC Hospital, or they say they're affiliated with BJC, or how is the language put? So
technically, I think the signage just has the BJC logo on it, in all honesty. As opposed to any particular definition of what it is.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Before you sit down, I have kind of a simple question. Maybe it's a simple question. When we address this, I'm concerned about the standard of review. Are we looking at this as if it's a motion to dismiss, that is just looking at what's in the pleadings? Or are we looking at it as if it's a motion for summary judgment? Is there any evidence that would indicate a contested fact? Or are we looking at it as making a decision as the trier of fact that by a preponderance of evidence something's been proved? Which of those, where are we at in this?
Quite frankly, I think it's a mix of all three. Clearly, we are for pretensive joinder. When you look at the second prong of pretensive joinder, you're supposed to look, the first prong is just the pleading. The second prong is, now that we have the record in front of us, what does it show us? And then, with this record in front of us, what reasonable legal conclusions could the plaintiff's lawyer have believed?
Well, we have to determine that factual issue, but we don't determine if there in fact is a sufficient affiliation for them to hold BJC liable, just whether there's a good faith belief. Is that correct?
A good faith belief, I would say, supported by the evidence,
right,
though. Because clearly the standard says under the record before the court.
So our standard here is all the 42 exhibits, all the affidavits, all the pleadings, any evidence that you all have submitted to us. But then our standard is just, did the plaintiff have a good faith belief?
Supported by the evidence.
Supported by the evidence.
I'm with you. Believe there was a factual basis for her assertion.
On the second prong only, not on the first prong, which is just pleadings.
But we don't have to find that she was right.
Right.
Well, my answer, a good faith belief, means that you have to believe that
pretty
they're
close,
right.
Huh?
Pretty close.
All right.
What about, can I ask one more, though? Is it the record in this court or the record in the trial court?
That's a tougher question. In all honesty, I think it's the record in this court because I think it's sort of a, while we look back and see what Judge McCullen did, I believe it's sort of a de novo kind of review, in all honesty, and I think it's what this court does. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Well, welcome back.
Thank you. May it please the court.
Now I can see what Boone County gets out of it because they get BJC. I'm sorry, it's an interesting argument. You've already been here already. I just see what Boone County gets out of it is they're affiliated with BJC. Just what does BJC get out of this arrangement?
What BJC gets out of its arrangement is, frankly, money, because
okay,
if more
good.
Patients go to Boone Hospital because of Boone Hospital's affiliation with BJC, BJC's bottom line grows, as does Boone Hospital's.
Well, they get tertiary care referrals, too, from Boone, I assume, within the system, that if there are cases that ought appropriately to be sent to Barnes Jewish in St. Louis, that they'll be sent there.
That's true as well, Your Honor.
But so BJC bought some, has paid for some arrangement, so when patients come to Boone County, get not just tertiary, they get direct payments to them.
That's correct as well, Your Honor. Yes. And so what it does, this holding out as an integrated delivery of healthcare system, allows BJC to get more patients, to report data to the public as a larger conglomerate of healthcare, and it encourages people to go to those affiliate institutions.
Some of this comes down to, well, whatever analogies or metaphors you believe, and it seems to me that on the basis of the cases that have been discussed here, that there seems to be an expectation that in order to hold BJC headquartered in St. Louis as a defendant, that it has to have been involved somehow in directing this care that was done in this hospital in some sort of nerve center directive kind of way. And that's what I see missing.
Mm-hmm. Missing from the pleadings or missing from the evidence?
Well, just missing from the reality of it.
Factual basis for the pleading assertion.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's there because we have pled and we have evidence that the control by BJC affects healthcare. They have system-wide policies that govern the delivery of healthcare.
But when they have, for example, an untoward incident that happens in Boone County, is that reviewed by people at BJC in St. Louis?
Well, let me say this. They share the same risk manager, so I would assume it is. I mean, they have shared services, including risk management, to oversee untoward events. So I would say yes.
But aren't you, in effect, creating an alternative alter ego test that's very, very different, that doesn't have the 11 factors, that has apparent, you know, that has affiliation and holding out of people of these institutions as being affiliated in the delivery of health care as being a basis for holding them liable? And doesn't that... I mean, there's a reason why we recognize the integrity of different corporate entities and why you allow parents and subsidiaries, and we have a long history in the law of recognizing those distinctions and telling you what you can and can't do, when the corporate distinctions will be ignored when you fail to respect them, which is what all those factors are. And you're saying basically, but in the healthcare area, we should ignore that and say, and if this affiliation is sufficient because of the generalized control it gives.
You know, Judge, with all due respect, I do not rely upon the piercing the corporate veil issue as the basis or certainly the sole basis for liability in this case. The BJC versus Neal case that this court decided in 2003 that my office argued, actually, says that BJC may be sued along with its affiliates or agents if plaintiffs validly claim that there was control sufficient to pierce the corporate veil or that the alleged control by BJC affected the health care issue and caused the
injury. And I understand that, but it seems to me your argument of why there's control here in the particular case, the second alternative, is to go back and try to show general control. And they control everything they do, so there's control in this specific case. And really, it seems to me you're making an alternative piercing the corporate veil argument then, because if that's what control is, there's no second argument. You always have it. I mean, everything they do would be controlled by BJC. And that's contrary to what the intent of those earlier cases was, which was to say, if you're controlling the delivery of this particular health care. I'd like to follow up on your allegations of training. Do you have something in there saying they train these doctors or train these hospitals and how to perform these kind of functions? And you said there was evidence that they did the training and that was negligently done. I mean, that would certainly be an evidence of control. But saying they just control in general because they have a right to do so in their contract, you know, is not the particularized kind of control that prior cases have required.
I have evidence that they hold what's called a BJC news forum where employees and physicians get together to get questions answered from leadership on the delivery of health care. So that's an example. The codes of conduct, the corporate compliance program, the Center for Quality Management.
I guess the two alternatives prior cases have recognized are either very general control and you don't respect the corporate form, or specific control that affects this delivery of health care. And it seems like you're saying they control the delivery of health care, but you don't have any specific evidence. You're saying they do it generally. So you're kind of mixing elements of both the prior tests.
Well, they control the delivery of health care at Boone Hospital. They control the delivery of health care to persons who are inpatients at that institution.
But all of them. So it's an overall. It's not controlling this particular health care. So, in effect, you're saying they are Boone Hospital. And so it's the piercing the veil in that sense.
Well, I've actually alleged
it performs that same function.
Sure, I understand. I've alleged, though, that in this case they did control the health care at issue that was delivered to the plaintiff. And so are my allegations sufficient? I think the answer is yes. Then what we get to is, did I have a reasonable good faith belief that I could prove them? And I think the answer there is yes as well. And that's why this is confusing, because what we're analyzing is, what was my good faith belief at the time of filing? Do I know specifically what BJC did with respect to trocar devices, open laparotomies? And the answer was no. At the time of filing, I didn't. But what I did know is that they had BJC forums where leadership talked about health care, that they had policies and procedures at this institution. And now I have filed responses to both BJC and Boone Hospital's motions for summary judgment. So to this day, I feel not only did I have a good faith belief, but I've got a genuine issue of material fact as to whether Pitt was employed by Boone Hospital, because he was compensated by them. Mm-hmm. Pitt was compensated by Boone at the time this event occurred. There's a real issue of fact there as to whether Pitt was an employee of Boone. We've got Pitt performing 100% of his surgeries there. We've got Pitt testifying under oath that he's going to follow certain every procedure that's handed down by either Boone or BJC, and he's promulgating ways to perform bariatric surgery.
Let me ask a quick question. Thank you very much. You mentioned risk managers. And so you have the same risk managers for Boone, and do you have the same malpractice insurance for both Boone County and the malpractice companies? Is it the same company for both?
That I'm not sure of, Judge. I'm not sure how their insurance works. I know that they have people who negotiate on behalf of the member institutions to negotiate managed care contracts and insurance so that they can get a lower rate.
Right.
Whether or not it is the same liability insurer for risk management purposes.
But who would negotiate those rates?
BJC.
In Neil, we found control because of evidence of cost-cutting saving measures were implemented by BJC, which resulted in the substandard medical care at the affiliate. Have you pled anything similar to that, or in addition to pleading it by virtue of some of the discovery that's taken place, has that evidence come forth?
Not specifically cost-saving techniques.
And not necessarily that, but anything more specific than just the general control, and looking at all the evidence that we have in front of us now.
I think there is a lot of evidence, Your Honor, that BJC's promulgation of health care guidelines, protocols, standing order forms at Boone affected health care and affected the health care at issue.
But when you say that seems to be just generally. I mean, it isn't enough, is it, that they control health care in general. It has to be health care that is related to the injuries that you allege. You're saying you get to the second issue because you've alleged control, but I'm missing hearing anything other than they have general health care policies. Are you claiming in the record there is evidence that they control any particular item of health care that was provided to the plaintiff?
Yes, I am.
And specifically what?
That there are uniform healthcare guidelines for treating inpatients, that there are protocols and standing order
forms. That's general, though. It's nothing to do with that they, you're saying they send out to all their affiliate hospitals.
Well, the evidence here is that they send them out to Boone.
But do those general, can you relate those general guidelines to the actual care this patient received, as opposed to we assume these guidelines impacted this patient because they're general guidelines and they apply to everybody?
I think that's getting into a burden of proof that is not pertinent to this inquiry because it's a causation standard. If your question, Judge, is do I have one of my three retained experts who's going to say the standing order form that was issued in the case caused or directly contributed to cause the brain injury to Ms. Kumar, the answer is no.
But that's
an SJ standard that's not pertinent to the inquiry before this court.
It's tying it into the second Ritter test, which is control of this particular delivery of health care. You're saying they issue protocols and so forth, but you need to somehow not just say they generally do it, but they had some sort of control on the particular type of health care, not this individual instance, and did they tell them how to treat this patient, but they gave them guidelines on how to perform laparoscopies or how to treat patients with this kind of a problem or abdominal pain or whatever that may or may not ultimately turn out to have affected the health care this person got.
In the Ritter case, venue was not found to be pretensive. Joinder mm-hmm. was not pretensive,
right.
And venue stood.
Because they had some such connection they showed. What did they show there?
And in the Ritter case, I argued that case in the Eastern District. That was my case. I'm very familiar with the facts of it. We had resolved the claims against every entity except BJC. Mm-hmm. BJC then filed a motion for summary judgment. And what was before the Eastern District in that case was the affiliation agreement and witness testimony from primarily a Dr. Nussbaum that is in the opinion. The court simply held that affiliation agreement and the most of the opinion focuses on that affiliation agreement, and Dr. Nussbaum's testimony were factually insufficient to withstand summary judgment as to the agency allegations. In the Ritter case, we sued Christian Hospital and BJC under agency, vicarious liability, apparent authority, and joint venture. Arguably, the Ritter case stands for the proposition that you can have a theory of apparent authority, but that because we failed to show reliance at the trial court level, that we did not survive summary judgment. And so do I have a good faith belief for a modification extension of law at the time I filed this? One could cite the Ritter case to say that I did under a claim of apparent authority. All the Ritter case, remember, I survived the venue determination, the pretensive joinder determination in Ritter at the trial court level. All the holding in Ritter at the Eastern District said was I did not have enough facts to make my agency apparent or otherwise claim against BJC. And the reason was, in that case, my plaintiff was electrocuted, completely unrelated incident, 3 weeks before trial. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we didn't have that evidence of reliance. Here, contrary to Mr. Bean's assertion, we do have that evidence of reliance, and that's before you in this record. We've got the affidavit of Dr. Hader. We've got Dr. Hader's testimony, and he testified that his wife chose Boone Hospital because of its affiliation with BJC.
But your opponent says that's hearsay.
Out. I mean, whether or not it's going to be admitted by the trial court, I don't know. I would argue that there's an exception that it would allow it to be admitted.
Let me ask you a question. Excuse me. You did refresh my recollection. Did you plead joint venture in this case?
What I pled was control. And that control might be sufficient to pierce the corporate veil. Joint venture was not specifically pled in this case. It was pled in the Ritter case.
I understand. But in the Ritter, they distinguish it on the basis of failure to show lack of profits or division of profits among the two entities. Is that correct?
Under the joint venture theory, they did.
Mm-hmm. But here you seem to indicate that there is some evidence showing that there is BJC gets something out of this. I mean, what is it that the record shows that BJC gets out of these arrangements?
The affiliation agreement, which is in evidence in this case, shows how they benefit financially from its affiliation, as well as the evidence that people, that it holds itself out to convince residents of Columbia, Missouri, that BJC runs Boone. So BJC has gone to great lengths to convince the residents of Columbia that BJC runs Boone, and that's why people go there.
Thank you, Council.
Thank you.
Very quickly then, if we go back to the evidence and the good faith belief, we have to turn back to what plaintiff's counsel knew from the Ritter case. Plaintiff's counsel knew the Ritter opinion, which had the testimony of Dr. Nussbaum, who said that system integration is the development of new services, not specific delivery of services to physicians. We would also go back to their knowledge from the deposition of Dr. Clay Dunnigan, which is part of the exhibits. It's tab 8, I believe, in our set. And Dr. Dunnigan in his deposition said the 25,000 people that are referred to on the website are employees of our institutions, and we don't have a command and control system. I would also argue that if we're going to talk about risk managers, my answer is this is not a risk management case. This isn't a situation where somebody claims that the risk managers put the stroke car in the wrong place. And I don't know how many of us are perhaps insured by Travelers or Safeco, but just because there's a bunch of drivers out there that are insured by Safeco doesn't mean that they're all Safeco employees.
But
the Safeco controls them.
You raise a very good point in it. We've focused on laparoscopy versus controlling operating room procedures. So things like putting, I don't even know, the choker on the wrong place, or putting carbon dioxide in the liver versus the stomach. When beyond laparoscopy, there may be a certain amount of protocols, procedures, forms, training regarding operations in the operating room procedures that Barnes Jewish would prescribe or indicate or check up on to make sure that the operating room is providing the appropriate services and procedures for any surgery.
I presume that's potential. My question is, I don't see any of that in this record. And I don't see any allegation here that in some fashion Boone Hospital and or BJC Health System controlled where Dr. Pitt placed that trocar. He has put in the record that he did it. They have pled that he was an employee of his own corporation, Columbia Surgical Associates. And we can have this amorphous argument, and I think Judge Wolf brought it up, we can have this amorphous argument that there's this system and it's got all these, I think we would agree, they're probably good things to have. But yet, now that we've got them, my answer is to be able to sue Boone in the city of St. Louis, they must plead and prove that, in fact, Boone was controlled by BJC on the issues involved in the litigation. And that language is clear throughout all of the appellate records we've got. And counsel's referred to a variety of writs. And I need to go back and read their brief, but my memory of the writs is that it's situations where the defense filed for the writ and it was denied. Not that the writ was granted, not that there was some appellate finding that in fact there is this control, which I think is the issue involved in the case. Thank you very much.
Could I ask you one question? On Ritter, which you rely on, it has a discussion of piercing the corporate veil under the caption of agency, and it discusses piercing the corporate veil and whether or not there's an establishment of a principal-agent relationship. Aren't those two different legal concepts? Can't you leave the corporate veil intact and still have a principal-agency relationship?
Sure, I think you could, but I don't think there's any pleading here that Pitt was our agent, nor is there any proof that Pitt was BJC's agent. But I think in some circumstances, you are correct, Judge, that if you get over the two corporations, which here, that's what we're discussing, it's two corporations, it's BJC and Boone, or CH Allied, we get back to a piercing corporate veil. We don't get the other alternative, at least in the venue field. And I think we know that from Dousman and from the Ritter case and the two BJC versus Neal cases.
Thank you.